Now, ladies, what we are going to embark on tonight is actually a challenging sugya. It is a sugya that relates to the status of Suffolk Sota versus Vadai Sota and the relationship to Yibum and Chalitza. So, according to our Gemara, what is the halacha of Suffolk Sota regarding Yibum? Does a Suffolk Sota, remember, Suffolk Sota means a woman whose husband suspects something, so that's called Kinoi. Then there is Stira, but it stops there, because hubby dies. So after Kinoi and Stira, husband is dead, so is there Yibum on the Suffolk Sota? What does it say in the Gemara? The Mishnah? Cholatzis Ramas Yabemes, right? So Suffolk Sota gets Chalitza, and last time we learned, we noted that the Gemara has four different explanations. The four explanations basically boil down to one is La'acher v'lo le'yavam. Two is the fact that the purpose of Yibum is to build a home, not to destroy a home, like Taisus quotes in the Rabbeinu Chananel. Reason number three is that guy two and guy one have to basically be the same. And in this case, they're not the same, because who would marry a woman who is suspected? And reason number four is Rava's famous Kavachomer of Bamutala Ne'esra. And we noted last time that there seems to be one large question that's involved, which is to what extent is the Yavam, is the dead brother's, the dead husband's brother, an extension of the original marriage? That's the way we presented it last time. And that's all interesting and nice, and perhaps if I'm in a good mood, I'll connect that back to what we'll do tonight. But I'm not always in a good mood. So, even though it's Purim month, right? So it goes like this. So how come Suffolk Sota gets Chalitza not Yibum? So the Gemara has four explanations. The Gemara does not talk about the halacha of a tzara. What is a tzara? A koway. If there, tzara means that Reuven marries Gnendel Hendel, right? So again, we have to keep track. It's very hard. Reuven marries Gnendel Hendel, and Reuven has a second wife who is Sprinza Yenta. Gnendel Hendel happens to be a Suffolk Sota, so Gnendel Hendel can get Chalitza not Yibum. What about Sprinza Yenta? What about Gnendel Hendel's co-wife? That is not mentioned in the Gemara. Good?
Mm-hmm. Could we explain the Havamina that there, why there would be any connection
between the co-wives? So the Gemara in Yevamos on Dav Gimel, the Gemara learns from Psukim that in a situation where there is no Yibum or Chalitza, because let's say someone married a woman who is an Erva to the brother. For example, Reuven marries his brother Shimon's daughter. That means Reuven marries his niece. You're allowed to marry your niece, Alpi Halacha. The problem is when Reuven dies without children, so that means that the woman falling to Yibum with Shimon is his daughter. A person can't, right? A man can't have relations with his daughter. Like, so there's no Yibum. So the Gemara says not only is there no Yibum, but the Gemara derives from Psukim that Heina Heina, Zima Zima, whatever it is, we basically derive from Psukim that whenever there is no Yibum on the wife, there is no Yibum and no Chalitza on the co-wife. Whenever wife number one is an Erva to the brother, the entire Yibum Chalitza parasha falls away. No Yibum, no Chalitza on the Sota, and on the no Yibum, no Chalitza on the Erva, and on the co-wife of the Erva. Ad kan divrei ha-Gemara. Now, our Gemara tells me that a Suffolk Sota does not get Yibum, but does get Chalitza. Our Gemara does not say anything about Tsaras Suffolk Sota. Okay? that is something to take, to hold, put it in your pocket, ad kan.
Well, you question with the Gemara and Yavama about like the
tzara.
Tzara, right? So
Sarah, by the way, it sounds like it's a pain, right? The co-wives hate each other. We see that idea in the beginning of the book of Samuel, that there's a wife named Hannah, a wife named Peninnah. They don't really get along.
So, in that case, it's talking about a sotavada, like someone who actually had adultery for sure.
So that's, again, the thing I mentioned before is about an erva, the case of when Reuven is married to the daughter of Shimon. So if Reuven dies without children, both wives are set free without chalitza or yibum. In a regular erva case, there is no yibum or chalitza, both for the erva and for the co-wife of the erva. That's all we said so far. Now, our Gemara speaks about Safek Sota. Safek Sota gets Chalitza. It does not say anything about the Tzara of a Safek Sota. Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, going over to Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says that a Tzara's Sota is Asura, that the co-wife of a Sota does not get chalitza or yibum. Since, in other words, a sota herself is considered, an erva, because tum'ah ksivba, the Torah has the word tum'ah by the sota herself, and since the sota herself is treated like an erva, so tsaras sota is Asura. That is what the Gemara says. Yes, ma'am.
But it just doesn't make any sense, because she didn't do anything.
She, again, Asura means that there can't be Yibum or Chalitza to her, but she's part of this household. The household that doesn't allow, just like, remember, in the case when Reuven marries Shimon's daughter, so the co-wife is a very, very fine woman from Lake Windsor, from nowhere, Windsor, Ontario, right? It's right near Detroit, so you could be American in Windsor, you could be Canadian, it's Givaldic, right? No shaychus to anything. Still, there's no yibum and no chalitza. Is that correct?
Suppose. Huh? Yeah, I guess.
So also, the Tzaras Sota, since the Sota herself is an erva, the Tzaras Sota does not get Chalitza or Yibum. That is what emerges from the Gemara in Yevamos 11a. Yes, ma'am.
So does that mean that Tzara also doesn't get her Ketubah?
No, not at all.
So she could.
Yeah, she could get her ksuba. The husband died, she gets a ksuba. The sota doesn't get a ksuba because the sota messed up the marriage. Whoever messes up the marriage, right, has some knas or whatever, not to get a ksuba. But there is no yibum or chalitza on the sota. And there is no yibum or chalitza on the tzaras sota. That's what it says in Yevamos Yud Aleph. So now you are already rightfully scratching your heads. You say, one second, there is a contradiction between the two Gemaras. Our Gemara in Saita Daf Hei Amid Beis says that tzaras sota gets chalitza. The Gemara in Yevamos Yud Aleph, our Gemara in Sota Hei Amid Beis says that a suffix sota gets chalitza. The Gemara in Yevamos says that a sota gets neither chalitza nor yibum. Whoa, you're jumping the gun. First we got to understand the problem before we get to the answer. So our Gemara says that a sota gets chalitza. The Gemara in Yevamos says a sota gets neither chalitza nor yibum. Our Gemara says nothing about the tzara. The Gemara in Yevamos says that a tzaras sota neither gets chalitza nor yibum. These are the two problems. Okay, grand. Now, if you go through the sugya there in Yevamos, the Gemara speaks about two cases. One case is the case of a sota d'oraisa versus sota d'rabbanan. What's a sota d'rabbanan? So sota d'rabbanan there in the Gemara in Yevamos is the following case. It's classical aguna, meaning a woman is married and the husband is presumed dead. So Bez then tells the woman, they say, Yenta Genendel, you are hereby permitted to remarry. Yenta Genendel goes and she marries a very fine yeshiva bacher, mamish, the best guy from the gush. Beautiful. And then it turns out, right, that the dead husband shows up and he's like, oh, I'm here. Where's my wife? And we say, oh, your wife, she married that guy. Like, ah! Right? This is like a really bad thing. Now, in that case, that's called a sota d'rabbanan, because that's a woman who's technically an eshes ish, who's having znus, no? Because she's a married woman. The only reason we said she can marry this great guy from Alon Shvut, whatever it is because the husband is presumed dead, but now we know the husband is not dead. So she's really an eshes ish, who's having znus.
Why is that sota? That should be...
Well, a term for eshes ish shezinsa is sota. Sota vadai means a woman who has an affair.
But who presumably also had kinoi and stira. Mm-hmm. Or they're just too able.
Not necessarily. Sota suffik is a kinoi stira situation. Sota vadai is just that we have witnesses who show up and say, we saw her having an affair. So she's also and her husband. So, the Gemara in Yevamos on Yud Aleph writes that there is a difference between a sota d'oraisa and a sota d'rabbanan. That case, when the woman remarried with permission of the Bezdin, that's called a sota d'rabbanan. And therefore, the halachos that appear in that sugya, that the tzara is also exempt, do not apply to the sota d'rabbanan. Then the Gemara asks,
but she gets chalitza?
So she gets chalitza, that's correct.
Both of them.
What?
Both of them.
Either one. In other words, the halacha of chalitza is it exempts the entire house, the entire group of wives. One of them gets chalitza, and yeah, all is grand. One of them gets yibum. In the case of this yibum, all is grand. One gets chalitza, and all is grand. The whole idea of yibum is to maintain the home. And chalitza is to exempt the home. The home, the dead brother's home, had many wives. Okay. Then the Gemara asks, and this is the part that's more germane for us. The Gemara asks, well, 1 second. We say in Saita Daf Hey that there is chalitza. Why is there chalitza? Didn't we learn in Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph that a sota does not get yibum or chalitza? So the Gemara answers, there's a difference between suffix sota and vadai sota. Vadai sota, which means Abigail, not necessarily that there was kinoi and stira. Vadai sota means just that we know for sure she had an affair. Vadai sota gets off the hook completely. Suffig sota needs chalitza. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara asks, "Aye, what's the difference?" Both by vadai sota and suffig sota, the Torah writes the word tumah. So the Gemara answers, you know what? By suffix sota, there's really no word tum'ah. The word tum'ah is only by vadai sota. That's basically what emerges from Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. And all is grand. Okay. So what emerges if I put the two Gemaras together, and this is the way Tosfos learns, and this is the way the Rush learns. The Tosfos by us, it's actually the little Tosfos, Ilu Isa, he says it very clearly, that Sota Vadai does not get any Chalitza. Right, that's clear in the little Tosfos, Ilu Isa. Maybe if we have time, we'll go through that Tosfos. But it's clear from the Tosfos, Ilu Isa, that a Sota Vadai does not get Yibum or Chalitza. And the Tosfos that we're talking about, the Tosfos La'acher V'lo Li'yavam, the Tosfos on Hey Amid Beis also says that Sota Vadai does not get Yibum or Chalitza because it says Tum'ah Ka'arayos. The Torah uses the expression Tum'ah, the expression of V'nitma'ah V'hinistira. That's what it says in Parashas Naso by the Sota. Since Sota Vadai, it says Tum'ah, and Tum'ah is an expression that the Chumash uses to tell me that you're an erva, lo sitam u b'chol elu, the Torah writes, don't have any relations that are called arayos. So arayos is tuma, and the Torah uses the term tuma by Sota Vadai. So Sota Vadai gets neither chalitza nor yibum. So according to Tosfos, and the Rush goes in this direction as well, Sota Vadai has a completely different set of halachos than Sota Safek. Sota Vadai gets off the hook completely free. No chalitza, no yibum. The tzara, the co-wife, no chalitza, no yibum. That is Sota Vadai. Sota Safek is the Gemara in Sota Daf Hey. Sota Safek gets chalitza, not yibum. It doesn't say anything about tsaras Sota Safek, but doesn't say anything about it. So I'll leave it for the time being. Yes, ma'am.
Is chalitza something that is wanted or not wanted?
So, wanted or not wanted, from whose perspective, why?
Like,
Rashi writes over here, that Vavam Aleph, that we paskin, or Rashi is paskin, that mitzvahs yibum kodemes al mitzvahs chalitza. So if you want to do the best mitzvah, you do yibum, not chalitza. So from that perspective, chalitza is not wanted.
From the woman's perspective?
From the woman's perspective, it probably depends who the guy is.
Like, is it a punishment that one of them has chalitza and one of them doesn't? Or?
No, it's just a reality. You have to get out of this situation, so you have chalitza. One of them shows up and gets chalitza, the other one doesn't, okay. I don't think it's a punishment or anything. The Gemara does have certain procedural rules about who goes first. If there's a whole bunch of brothers of the husband, who has the right to do the yibum / chalitza? And among the co-wives, who has to show up in the bezdin for the chalitza? Or for the yibum, right? There are some rules, but I don't think it's a punishment or really something that you want. It's there. So according to Tosfos, is a fundamental difference between Safek Sota Vadai Sota. Safek Sota, the Torah writes Tuma. Excuse me, Vadai Sota, the Torah writes Tuma. Vadai Sota is consequently an Erva. But Safek Sota, the Gemara in Sota, is not an Erva. And because it's not an Erva, so Safek Sota gets Chalitza, not Yibum. The problem that the Rishonim all address on Tosfos' Shita, it's Tosfos, it's the Rush. The Tosfos HaRush by us really speaks it out, but we see that the Rush in Yevamis in Simin Daled says the same idea. The problem is that this split between Vadai Sota and Safek Sota is a beautiful idea, but it's against Judaism. Because the Gemara tells me in a number of places in the Masechta that Sota Safek Asa'a Hakosov Safek Kivadai. A Sota is Asura to the Baal, to the Boel, to Itruma. Right? These are like the dinim that we've been studying all semester. Like, it should be Kosvei Maluach Libecho already. Like, you should know it really well. Asura Labal, Laboa, Latruma, Givaldic. And that's Suffix Sota. Why is it Asur? Well, there's a pasuk that says, V'nitma'a, 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 Gimel Pa'amim. Right? The Gemara in Chofres tells me that the Torah three times, Gzrai Mol, the Torah shriped, V'nitma'a. Therefore, I would say more in Yiddish, but Yiddish is much easier to understand. And sometimes we remember sugyas better when we have to struggle. So that's why I speak in English, because Yiddish is just too easy. Like Rav Soloveitchik never wanted to use the Ritva, because he felt it made the sugya too easy, and he wanted to work hard. That's why the Vilna Gaon, when he was offered an opportunity to learn Torah with the Malach, he refused. No? Because the Vilna Gaon said that the Iker of Torah comes from, I'm teaching you a new Yiddish word, the Horevanya. Horevanya means that you Horeva. Right? So, that you work. This is just the way we translate. No, it's Pashat. If you look it up in the dictionary, Haravanya is to Harava. No, like, when you work hard on it, that's the ikar of Torah, Ba'amelus B'Torah, etc. Again, I'm only saying this 95% in jest. Okay, so the thing is that the Rishonim are all bothered by Yakasha, that what are you telling me? That there's a fundamental difference between Sota Vadai and Sota Safek. And that difference relates to the fact, the way the Gemara in Yevamis tells me, that by Sota Vadai, the Torah uses the word Tuma. Sota Vadai is called an Erva. But Sota Safek, the Torah doesn't use the word Tuma, because Sota Safek is not an Erva. So the Rishonim are bothered by two kashas. And the kashas are, one, how can you distinguish between Sota Vadai and Sota Safek? When the Gemara tells me that by Sota, Asa HaKosov Safek Kivadai. The Pasuk tells me, we learn from Psukim, that Sota Safek is the same as Sota Vadai. And you know what? It gets worse. Because the Pasuk that I learned from is a Pasuk that says, V'nitma'a. So how can you tell me that it only says Tuma by Sota Vadai, not by Sota Safek? When Suffolk is Kavadai, because it says Tuma three times by Sota Suffolk. So that's the Kasha that every single Rishon is bothered by. So the Rush says something which is probably what Tosfos is saying as well. Although Tosis is like speaking in a different language. Like Tosis is bothered by a different kasha, but they're probably getting at the same idea. The Rush answers that when I say that Tum'ah, that word Tum'ah in the Torah, makes the Sota an Erva, that is only when the Torah uses that word Tum'ah in the lav sense. But when the Torah uses the word tum'ah in the asay sense, so then tum'ah is not like an erva. So although the Torah writes v'nitma'ah by safek sota, but that word v'nitma'ah, actually, although the Torah writes tum'ah by safek sota, that tuma is formulated in the asay sense, not in the lav sense. But the tuma by vadai sota, that tuma is written in the lav sense. Therefore, vadai sota is treated like a full-fledged erva. That's the way the Rush writes. And the rule of suffek Kivadai, according to the Rush, only applies in the limited sense by these halachos of the Isser Lebal, Leboel, and Letruma. But the word Safek Kivadai will not apply in the case of Yibum. So Safek Sota gets Chalitza, not Yibum, because the rule of Safek Kivadai is only formulated, that rule of Safek Kivadai is only formulated in those limited cases of the Isser Labal, the Isser Laboel, and the Isser Latruma. Those are the only cases when we have the din of Safek Kivadai. Ad Kan Divrei HaRush. Without getting into every little bit, but I think for the time being, this will suffice within the Rush. Ms. Stefanski.
But if we're saying that Safek Kivadai only applies to those three things, if you view the marriage with the brother-in-law as an extension of the Baal, then it should also be Shayach, that you can't do Yibum. Because if there's Isser Labaal, that should...
So the Isser Labaal might generate an Isser to the Yavam, but the severity of the Isser is not exactly the same.
Why not?
Because it isn't. And Taisus sort of is bothered by your kasha. I'll say it like that. Our Taisus, La'acher v'lo li'yavam, our Taisus is basically bothered, what do you mean, La'acher v'lo li'yavam? That word, La'acher v'lo li'yavam, is talking about a sota vadai, and sota vadai does not get chalitza even. Sota vadai is totally off the hook. So Tosa says, kind of. All right, Tosa's answer is, I think some of you are very bothered by this Tosa during Seder. Did you ever get a shot in that?
We made progress the second time around.
Huh?
We made progress the second time around. I don't know if we got
that. So Tosis' answer is, De la lo itzrich la michtav, ela li yotzeis mishum stira, keban de napgon sota vadai mituma dechsivba. Tosis basically says that the words la acher velo li yavam is not talking about a sota vadai. Sota vadai we know already from the word tuma, so la acher velo li yavam is only talking about sota suffik. That's basically what Tosis said. But let's just chazer for a minute. According to the Rush, the two sugyas coexist. The Gemara in Yevamis that says that a sota gets neither chalitza nor yibum is talking about sota vadai. The Gemara in Saita that says that you get chalitza not yibum is sota suffik. Hello, Elisheva.
This was brought up a little earlier, but why do we call someone who for sure has an affair, witnesses and everything, without kinayah sphere, like just they saw it happen, why do we even call that a sota? Like, why do we even say
so that? I think Abigail was bothered by that kasha. Right. I mean, in ancient history, years and years ago. So I think the answer is that the word sota sometimes is a word based on the process of kinayah and sphere, but that whole process is a way of determining if the woman had an affair. If she really had an affair,
she would be
blown
up. What? Like, then she would have drank the water and her inside would have come out. Like,
no, but let's say we know she had an affair.
But every other time that we use the word sota and don't
We're using the word sota in Maseches Sota, where the context is after kinui and stira, etc. But the word sota is also shorthand. I'll say it like this. It's like in Yiddish. Sota means any woman who had an affair. Right? It's the shorthand term.
Right.
So the Rush is Gevaldik. The Ravid, Rabbi Abraham ben David of Paskiers, died in the year?
After Moshe Rabbeinu.
13.
No.
Okay.
Earlier?
12, 11.
11, good.
34.
94.
Closer.
872.
1197. The Ravid dies in 1197. When was the Ravid born? We have not got the foggiest idea. We don't know when anyone was really born. The Rambam was super famous. But very few Rishonim do we know when they were born, because when he was born, he was a little kid. He was a baby. And they just named him... most of us are babies when we're born. There are one or two notable exceptions. What? Correct. So, when he was born, he was a little kid. They called him Avrami. Later on, he grows up. He's the Ravid. So we don't know when Avrami was born. There's like no record. I mean, it's not so rare. My grandmother, Shalom, I remember her. So we asked her, when were you born? She's like, either 1908 or 1910. That's what my grandmother always said. I was either born in 1908 or 1910. So he's saying, you know, we have your passport that says you were born in 1910. So she's like, yeah, but they wanted to make her younger because the feeling was that to get over to America at a younger age, they wouldn't require some proof that you were able to work.
So then you know that she wasn't born in
1910. So she, but we're not sure. Maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not. She says either 1908 or 1910. I mean, we don't know. That was my grandmother. People sometimes don't know when they're born. Oh. So the Ravid. Reb Avram ben David of Paskiers.
Where's Paskiers?
Paskiers is in Provence, which is the French Riviera. The Ravid is quoted by the Me'iri. The Me'iri has code names for all the Rishonim. He calls the Ravid Gidolei HaMefarshim, which is actually an interesting point that we'll come back to in 5 minutes. The Ravid wrote a full commentary on Shas. We only have it on certain Masechtos. We have it on Avodah Zarah. We have it on Bava Kamma. We have it on Shavuos. We lost it on many other Masechtos. But the Me'iri, who's from Provence, considered the Ravid from Provence Gidolei HaMefarshim, as opposed to Rashi, who was not Gidolei HaMefarshim in Provence. In Provence, they learned Gemara, Ravid, not Gemara, Rashi. He's kind of cool.
Is the Ravid and the Ra'avad the same person?
Yeah.
The Ra'avad?
One's really pretty.
So the tricky thing is, among the historians, there are three people named Ravid.
Yeah.
There's Ravid 1, Ravid 2, and Ravid 3. One of them was the Ravid Baal HaEshkol, who was the father-in-law of the Ravid. Basically, the Ravid Baal HaEshkol had two students, the Ravid and the Baal HaMor, and they both wanted to marry the Ravid Baal HaEshkol's daughter.
Ooh.
Now, it got a little complicated because the Ravid married the Ravid's daughter.
Are you not just married? She's with the same name, but maybe the aunt's something else.
Thank you, Sophia. Now, so, the Ravid 1 is the Ravid Baha Eshkol. Ravid 2 is the Ravid of Paskiers. It's Ravid 3, who they sometimes called the Ra'avad, who was a historian who wrote a book called the Sefer HaKabbalah.
The Ravid.
So, the Ravid on the Rambam is this Ravid. This is the famous Ravid. So the famous Ravid says, the Ravid zucked, that you know what? There are two sugyas. The Gemara in Yevamis tells me that a sota goes off the hook, no chalitza, no yibum. The Gemara in sota says that a sota gets chalitza, not yibum. Says the Ravid, there's a machlokes hasugyas. And we paskin, like the Gemara in Sota. This is based on a general rule that many Rishonim have, that Sugya b'mkoma adif, that the major Sugya is preferred. And the major Sugya over here is the Sugya in Sota, presumably. So that is the Ravid. Now, how can we conceptualize the machlokes between the Rush and the Ravid? The Rush is saying, Tysus is saying, The Rambam says also, the Rambam in Perek Vav of Yibum Halacha Yuntes, the Rambam writes that there's a difference between Sota Vaday and Sota Safek. Sota Vaday, neither Chalitza nor Yibum. And the Tzara, the co-wife, neither Chalitza nor Yibum by Sota Vaday. Sota Safek, Chalitza, Na'ibum. And Tzara, the co-wife of a Sota Safek, the Rambam made this up because he's cool. What's the halacha of the co-wife of a Sota Safek? The Rambam writes, co-wife of Sota Safek, Shtetin Rambam, chapter 6 of Yibum, halacha, Yutes, Vim Haisala Tzara, if the Sota Safek has a Tzara, Hare Tzarasa Muteres, V'chayletzes omis yabemes. Right? Which is really a collector's item. In other words, the Sota Safek herself cannot get Yibum. Either a Din D'Arayis or Din D'Rabbanan based on the four answers in the Gemara. But the Tzara gets either Chalitza or Yibum. How that can exist in Judaism is a big problem. There is an entire essay of Reb Chaim in the Sefer to try to deal with this. And that's something, Yemei Yirtzeh Hashem, when we learn Yevamis, we'll have to cover. But for our sugya and sota, I think it'll get us too confused. Elisheva, you had a hand up?
I'll take it back.
Take it back. Okay. It's taken back.
And the yeah. Raivit says nothing about a tzara.
So the Raivit says nothing about a tzara?
Or about sota vada. He hasn't distinguished.
The Raivit says that there's no difference between sota vada and sota safek. It's a machlokas ha-sugyas. And I paskin like the sugya in sota. That Sota Safek gets Chalitza. We don't know anything about the Tzara of a Sota Safek according to the Ravid.
Or a Sota Vadai.
Well, we know about Sota Vadai and about the Tzara of a Sota Vadai.
But then it wouldn't be a
Machlokes. Well, again, a Sota Vadai for the Ravid is the same as a Sota Safek.
Right.
So a Sota Vadai also gets Chalitza, not Yibam. The Tzara, not clear from the Ravid. He doesn't really tell me.
From Yevamo.
I pass like Tzara. The Gemara in Yevamis talks about the Sota Vaday and the Tzara, but I reject that Gemara in Yevamis in favor of the Gemara in Sota. So therefore I say, Sota Safek gets Chalitza Na'ibam, Gemara in Sota. What about the Tzara of a Sota Safek? I have no idea, because that's not mentioned in the Gemara in Sota. The Ravid just paskins like Sota Heyam Abeis. That's all he does. Now, a few Ha'aros. One, the Rambam paskins this din in Perek Vav, Halacha Yutes of Yibum. The Ravid disagrees with this din, right? We saw the Ravid is quoted by the Rush. The Ravid is also quoted by the Magid Mishnah, by the Kesef Mishnah there, Perek Vav, Halacha Yutes of Yibum. How come the Ravid didn't write anything on the page? You would think the Ravid is not so shy. The Ravid likes disagreeing with the Rambam. The Ravid uses... What? Find it. Nowhere. Shteytnisht. The Ravid disagrees. By the way, and the Rush writes think the Rush's Lushan somewhere is Kasav HaRavid B'Peru Shav. No, one second. I'll find this. Yeah, in the Magid Mishnah. Right, the Magen Mishnah, Perek Vav Halacha Yutes Yibum, he writes Shaharayvid Pasak BePerushav, meaning that this Ravid is coming from his commentary on Shas, not as a Ravid on the Rambam. So how come the Ravid is not Masig on the Rambam? So there's a whole discussion in the Achrayim about when the Ravid is not Masig on the Rambam, what does that mean? Especially when the Ravid has his own comment in Shas, that we know he disagrees with the Rambam. So one approach, one school of thought is that the Ravid changed his mind. That's one school of thought.
That he agreed and then he disagreed.
That originally the Ravid disagreed with the Rambam, let's say, and later on in life the Ravid writes his commentary on the Rambam, and the Ravid doesn't quote his own position, because the Ravid was so enamored, taken by the Rambam, that he doesn't quote his position.
It doesn't sound
logical at all.
No. Yeah.
Right. It sounds like Reb Moshe Feinstein says this in some of his tshuvas relating to Hilchos Nida. For example, like a stain that a woman finds, let's say, on her underwear or whatever. So the halacha of a stain is that it has to be the size of a gris to be tame, which is the size of a bean. It's 19 millimeters. The reason for the size of a gris is because we assume anything smaller than the gris is a bug that got squashed, rather than being nida blood. The Ravid writes in his Sefer on Hilchos Nida in the Balei HaNefesh that this rule is only true of red, but not black. The Mishnah tells us that there are five colors that make a woman tameya. Four of them are red, four different shades of red, and one is black. The Ravid writes that a black stain is going to be tame even if it is smaller than a gris, because what's your cheshbin? That it's a bug that's squashed? Bug blood is not black.
The bug itself?
The bug itself, if it's on the thing, maybe. But then you would notice it. You'd see the legs. Whatever, sorry for about being too gross, but you'd see the legs. But the Ravid is not masig on the Rambam. Says Ramosha, the Ravid changed his mind. And therefore, you don't have to... I have a couple of Ramoshas that says this. But it seems the Pashtus over here is, like Dr. Soloveitchik writes, that the Ravid was not masig because we said the Ravid died in the year 1197. The Rambam Sefer came to Provence in 1192. The Ravid, we don't know exactly how old he was, but he was an old man by the time he gets to the Rambam's Sefer. And the Ravid didn't really want to go through the Rambam systematically and jot down his notes whenever he disagrees with the Rambam. Rather, what the Ravid wanted to do is just jot down a couple of notes here and there. Because Klal Yisrael is beginning to take this book called the Rambam, they're beginning to say, this is like the final word in Halacha. And the Ravid says, no, you can't do that. I'm going to disagree. But he doesn't feel a need to disagree every single time he disagrees. Because he just has to create the feeling that he mamish disagrees all the time. Or I shouldn't say that. He just wants to create the feeling that you can disagree with the Rambam. So the fact that the Ravid is not masig on this, l'cha'ora, does not indicate that the Ravid changed his mind. Okay, so we did not get to what we have to get to. But what we have to discuss in Yom Tov Wednesday is what's the conceptual underpinnings of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, or the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rush versus the Ravid. We'll have to discuss that, and time went much too fast tonight. I'm sorry. Okay, Chevra, have a good evening.